done in our lives, at what you are going to do also. Lord, it's amazing when we look at your creation and how special we are. And I pray that when we leave today, we will have a new sense of confidence and worth, self-worth, not of ourselves, but because you value us, that we should value each other and ourselves as well. Lord, I pray that you would just build in us that character that you want, and Lord, that we would leave here different than when we came in. We pray now for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to use my little pointer today because we got a lot of things to look at. First of all, I want us to look at this first one. You can see how the earth is pretty large compared to, you know, Venus, a little bit large, about the same size maybe. And Chinese, if you want to know that, how to say Mercury and Pluto in Chinese. But anyways, you know, Mars and Mercury and Pluto, you know, compared to the Earth, pretty small, you know, comparatively. But the next slide, Earth all of a sudden gets pretty small. And, you know, Jupiter is pretty big. But in the next slide, now the sun dwarfs them all. Here's our sun, and Jupiter and Earth is down here for you on this side. All right, I'm pointing on one side. So the next slide, then now we see that Jupiter is really small. Our sun isn't so big. Sirius now is seriously big. Yeah, I was grasping for that one. Sorry. So then, in the next slide, this changes dramatically. Sirius is down here, a little dot. And you see that little white dot? I don't know. I'm covering it with the green dot. I can't hold it real steady. Let me do this. There, right there. That's Sirius. And then Ceres is like a monster. I understand it would take like 1,200 years to circle it. If you took off in one of our planes, you know, to circle it. So Rigel and all that, you know, it's huge. So then the next slide, there we are. Now, that little dot right there, can you see it? Can you see that little dot right there? That's us. We're there. Now, I always thought that the Milky Way galaxy, that our sun was the center. And then we circled around it. But that's not the case. We're out here somewhere, halfway between this point and this point, and we're in the middle here between the arms. I'm going to explain that in just a second. But the sun is circling, or we're circling around the sun out here, not here. The galaxy, the Milky Way, the Earth and the solar system is located within the Milky Way. So it's difficult to figure out where Earth is in the Milky Way. In fact, astronomers have only realized that the Milky Way is actually the disk of our galaxy and not a vast nebula or collection of stars. Astronomers have only really known that there are other galaxies for less than a century. The Milky Way is a barred spiral galaxy that measures about 100,000 light years. So to go from one end to the other, it's 100,000 light years. If you can travel at the speed of light. Okay, so that's a prerequisite there. It's thought to contain about 100 to 400 billion stars. The solar system and Earth is located 25,000 light years to the galactic center and 25 light years away from the rim. So that's 25,000 light years from the center to where our little solar system is, and also to the edge. So we're right in the middle. And this is important, and you'll see this in a second. So imagine a dinner plate in the Milky Way, drawn an imaginary line from the center of the plate to the outside, and we're located halfway along that line. The sun is about 26,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It takes the sun and our solar system roughly 200 to 250 million years to orbit once around the Milky Way. So none of us are going to see that. To orbit around this Milky Way galaxy, 250 million years, they kind of guesstimate that because nobody's been here to see it. All right. In this orbit, we are traveling at a velocity, this is going to blow you away, 155 miles per second. 155 miles per second. And it still takes 200, 250 million years to travel around that. To reach the center of the Milky Way galaxy, starting from Earth, aim toward the constellation Sagittarius. For you who are astronomers, aim toward Sagittarius, you'll go toward the center of our galaxy. Since we're inside the Milky Way galaxy, we've never sent a spacecraft outside the galaxy, because it would take us a million years, you know, to do that. We don't have the time. So we have no photographs of the Milky Way galaxy, but the way we get these pictures is radio telescope data, and it lets us know what's going on, what we think is going on. The arms of the Milky Way are named for the constellations, are seen in the directions. The major arm of the Milky Way galaxy is the Perseus arm, Sagittarius arm, Centaurus arm, and Cygnus arm. Our solar system is in a minor arm called the Orion Spur. The central spur hub contains old stars and at least one black hole. Younger stars are in the arms along with the dust and gas that form new stars. The Milky Way galaxy is one of many galaxies. All these bright spots are galaxies. So to think that we are this huge, you know, Earth, yeah, baby, we're the center of the universe. We are not the center of the universe. In the Milky Way galaxy, it's just one galaxy of a group of galaxies called the Local Group. In the Milky Way galaxy, it's moving about 300 kilometers a second toward Virgo. The Milky Way galaxy is moving in concert with other galaxies. Now, did you catch that? The galaxies are even moving. All these galaxies are moving in concert at 300 kilometers per hour. Now, I'm sure that's probably 155 miles or close to it per second. You know, the thing is that why aren't they bumping into each other? Right? Well, because there was something more than just the Big Bang Theory. And I want to run a little video, and it's really cool. So listen to this video for just a few minutes. There will be some.
Hi, we're going to the first place in this beautiful documentary movie to show them a little bit of what we're talking about, from our experience and design in this world. And we're actually going to accept that God placed our Earth in just the right spot in space, in our galaxy, and folks, you won't believe it. Watch.
Earth has been hunted for precisely the right location to receive all the elements that are essential for life. Even though the stars of our galaxy are numerous, the grains of sand on the beach, namely about 100 billion, many astronomers are now convinced that it's extremely unlikely that there could be another habitable planet anywhere among them. Even if the just right planetary system were to form from the just right elements of dead stars, there is another critical factor to consider. The life support planet must be positioned at the just right location within the galaxy. Near the center of our galaxy, conditions are too congested. With billions of stars in a relatively small volume, gravitational tug of war made the survival of life supportable planets impossible, and the radiation there is intense, far too intense for life. Toward the upper edges of our galaxy, the stellar population becomes too sparse for planet building. The heavy elements generated like supernovae and white dwarf binaries are too few and far between. Not enough building material to make planets. At almost any distance from our galactic center, conditions within the spiral arm prevent planet formation.
Amazingly, our particular solar system resides at a perfect location in between spiral arms, either too close to the center or too close to the other edge. Our just right location not only permits our existence, but also allows us to see and explore our region of space. No wall of skyline, no big dust clouds block our view.
Some of you have just amazed somehow that written. And also in reading some of your texts, the books that you have written, I've realized that that little place where Earth is a place in space, in our galaxy, also gives us a window back that clearly we can see all the way back to the beginning. So you astronomers can actually track the events. And that window in which we can track all of these events is very, very small, and we're in it right now. We are talking about that block. Okay, well, in order to get to know that we need for human beings and civilization possible, our star was, of course, close to the center of the galaxy, and the globe of any other. That is up here, and I have to take out to a safe spot where the right thing exists. And so we're currently in that safe zone where we don't get beat up by nearby stars and gas clouds and radiation. But that safe spot is also the best possible location in the universe for us astronomers to observe not only our galaxy, but all the other galaxies in the universe, and actually have to see all the way back to the beginning by ourselves, and there is a discovery that compelling evidence that there must be created beyond space and time in all this forever. Place us back in Genesis 1. We actually jump back into Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, going toward verse 2, where God actually placed Earth. Well, begins with God creating the universe. And before we get to verse 2, God very carefully designed the universe and the formation of the solar system within that universe so that verse 2 became possible. And in verse 2, we get the same set for God to create life here on planet Earth.
So, do you feel special yet? Even though we are small in compared to the universe and all the galaxies and the planets and the stars that are out there, that Earth is really not very big at all. In fact, we're pretty insignificant if you think in a galactic sense. Very insignificant. It would be impossible, you know. I mean, they talk about aliens and, you know, all this other stuff, and which, you know, I got my own explanation on that kind of thing. But they wouldn't even be able to find us. See, that's the issue. It's not even a needle in a haystack. It's even worse than that. Billions of stars, and we're stuck in the middle of this galaxy called the Milky Way, and who is going to find that? You know, the thing is that God created this universe, and He does what He wants to do. You know, we look at all the creation, everything, and our big question is, why us? You know, what makes us so important? Well, I want us to look, and we're going to take a journey through Scripture, and we're going to take it step by step and find some things out. The first step that we're going to take is in Job, and that's 763 in your pew Bibles. Job chapter 38 in your pew Bibles, 763, just before Psalm is really where you're going, and chapter 38. Now, we know that Job was having troubles and trials. He was being challenged in his faith. And God had allowed Satan to test him. And so now Job has been asking all these questions along the way about, you know, why would God do this? And what is this? And what is that? And, you know, I'm ready to go. Why didn't He just kill me? You know, things like that. Now it's God's turn, and He's going to answer Job in chapter 38. He starts out, and He says in verse 1, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? You know, all along this, we see how God has everything in control, and He has taken it through His majesty, His power, and His knowledge. He created it all. And He's asking us through Job, saying, hey, you know, do you have the answers? Do you know how I did all this? And all we can say is no, we don't. In fact, I was talking last night. I shared how scientists, they get all proud and everything, and one scientist went up to God and he said, I can do everything you do. I can create the planet. I can create this. I can create that. And God says, okay, show me. And the scientist reached down and picked up some dirt, and God says, oh, use your own dirt. Simple as that. You know, they talk about the Big Bang Theory. You know, we say, oh, yeah, the Big Bang Theory. But Big Bang sends everything out. It doesn't put things in perfect orbit and in concert with one another. It doesn't create a planet in a place that is just perfect for it. So, we continue on with with Psalm 8. I want to go to Psalm 8 before I get too confused here. 777 in your pew Bibles, a great number to remember. 777 in your pew Bible. Psalm 8, chapter 8, verse 3. Starting verse 3, I'll read to the read two verses. Verse 3, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Now, that is our question. With all the stars, with all the galaxies, with everything else in place, why do you care about us? What's so special? The other thing I want us to look at and take note of is it says, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. You see, it's not like God took a bunch of stars like the sand of the beaches, and He took those and He just threw them out there and said, yeah, that looks good. He placed every one of them. Billions of stars, and He placed them where He wanted them to be. And that's where we get constellations. That's where we get all the things that we have when we look up in the sky and see that beautiful sky of stars. Now, some of the people that are in Chicago, I know when I was in L.A., I thought there was only like a handful of stars. You could see sometimes the Big Dipper and maybe a couple other stars, planets. Usually they were like Venus or somebody. You could say, oh, yeah, look at the star out tonight. That's the way we were in L.A. You can hear the Wisconsin up in the north, especially the north. You turn all your lights off around your house. Hopefully you're not in a city where you have a lot of lights and stuff. But you turn off all your lights and then you go out and look. And I'll tell you what, be prepared to be thrown back. Because you see all those stars. And the ones that look like clouds, that's looking toward the center of the Milky Way. And that's just stars. More stars than you can imagine. But they look like dust. They look like clouds because they're all put together. We went to that Kovac Planetarium, and what an amazing show that he puts on. If you have a chance to do that, it's just down the road, Highway 8, free advertisement for him. But, you know, it's just a great thing. He paints all the stars. He painted all the stars one by one with fluorescent paint. You know, it cost like $150 a quart. And he painted them. And he said, yeah, and then there were times where I had to paint over them with white paint because he made a mistake. And he had to redo it. And I'm thinking, boy, you've got more patience than I have. One star at a time. And it's just amazing when you sit in that planetarium and then he turns all the lights off. It does look like our star. It just blows your mind. Quite a thing. But God, just like this guy, Frank, I believe his name was, painted all the stars. God placed them in just the right places. He put our earth in just the right place. Because it would not sustain life if it was any other place. If it was in those arms, it would perish. If in our solar system, it was a little bit closer to the sun, or a little farther away from the sun, we either boil or freeze. It's just the right spot. And the tip of the earth is just the right 23 or whatever degrees. Some of you that just went in there, 23 and a half is it? Or 22 and a half, whatever it is. That's the tilt. And it's just the perfect tilt. If it was any more or any less, people on one side would boil and the other side would freeze. You know, it's just, that's how mindful God is of us. And I want us to go to another scripture because Moses was kind of floored by that as well. 84 in your pew Bible, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And Moses, like us, you know, really doesn't grasp all of it. And so in chapter 3 of Exodus, Moses, remember the burning bush, and he said, I got to go check that out. And he got there, and, you know, take your sandals off, you're on holy ground. And as he dialogued with, conversed with the Lord, God, you know, he gets to this point in verse 11. And Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You see, that's our question. Who am I that you would care for me? Who am I? You know, not only is the earth such a small planet in the vast universe, but now you start putting people into the mix, and we are like not like bacteria inside. I mean, we aren't even, you can't even see us. And God cares about us? And Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You know, I'm nobody. I'm a sheep herder. And God says, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Well, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what do I say? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Wow. I mean, that just bowls you right over because God is saying, I am he. There's no one else. I created all this and I'm sending you. And you have nothing to fear because I am is with you. That kind of blows you away. And still, it brings the question, why? Why, God? Why do you care? Why would you even send me to take care of the Israelites? Why do you even want anybody? You know, you could have just, why did you want us? I want us to go to 1 Peter, all the way in the New Testament, 1851, in your pew Bible, 1851. 1 Peter chapter 5. chapter 5 and in 1 Peter 18:51, it says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." those verses just kind of throw you right out. Because, first of all, He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand." Why are we to humble ourselves? Because He's God. You know, He created all that. We can't even scratch the surface. I mean, these astronomers and everybody, they're pointing their telescopes out and they can only see a certain amount of things. That's only a small portion of what's really out there. I mean, we haven't even got a clue how much more is out there. They sent a telescope in orbit, and they got it out there orbiting around the Earth, you know, and it shoots out and looks at things. It's only barely, it's like looking at the roof here in the sanctuary. You know, I look at the roof and I go, "Wow, look at this roof. Isn't it great? Wow." But I haven't stepped outside. I don't know what's above the roof, because I can't see any farther. That's astronomers. They only see so far. In the vast universe of things, God created it all. And then He created us in His image. And it says here, when we humble ourselves, we realize who God is, and we say, "God, there's no comparison. And I want what You want. Just let me know, because I'm not going to fight You." Then He says, "Cast all your anxieties on Him." Look, you know what I want? I don't want you to have to worry in this world. I don't want you to have to be stressed out. I want you to cast all your anxiety on Me. I want you to give it all to Me, because I care for you. I created you. I created everything else. But I care about you. And that's why I created everything you see. Because I care about you. And I want you to enjoy this creation. We were created in His image. In Psalm 139, if you go back there, 920 in your pew Bible, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 920 in your pew Bible. Starting at verse 1, I'll read through verse 14. You can read the rest if you want some other time. It says, "O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to You. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You know, God considers us special. Even in the little dot called Earth that's in the vast universe, we were created for Him. That's what we were created for. He created us in the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and Eve to tend the garden and fellowship with Him. That all got blown to pieces when Adam and Eve sinned. But God didn't stop with that because He still cared for us. He still loves us. And so, Jesus came on the scene. He provided a way. And He's going to give us a new heaven, a new earth, a new universe. One that won't be corrupted by sin. I want us to go to Colossians 17:90 in your pew Bibles so that we can emphasize that. Colossians chapter 1, 17:90 in your pew Bibles, starting in verse 15. We'll see a little bit of a picture of who Jesus is. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. See, I want you to notice here that Jesus holds all things together. He created it. But you see, like I was telling you, it's traveling 155 miles per second in a rotation. We're traveling at least that fast in our own solar system, and then the Earth is spinning at about 1,500 miles an hour. It's all these things are spinning and moving and shaking. But everything's held together. Why isn't everything split apart? Centrifugal force, remember? In school, we used to do it with cats. Put them in a laundry basket and spin around and around and then let them out of the basket. But the only reason they were held in the basket was because we had them in a basket and we're spinning around. If you didn't have a basket, they'd go flying. You see, centrifugal force wants to spread everything apart. And this universe wants to expand. It's constantly wanting to expand. But what's holding it together and keeping it from blowing apart? God. Jesus Christ, He's the head of the church. And He gave His life for us. That's even more amazing than everything else. The Creator of the universe, the one that created all those billions of stars and set them in place and put Earth in just the right place and created us to be, you know, to serve Him in capacities that aren't hard, that's not difficult. Jesus even said it, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest." He doesn't want us overstressed. He said, "Cast all your anxiety on me. I want to give you what you need. Peace, comfort, joy, and rest. Because I care for you. And I don't want you to be concerned about death. Because I want to pay everything that you owe so that you can enter into a final rest. Peace in heaven. I've created it for you." 1 John, last scripture, 1860, in the Pew Bible, 1860. 1 John, chapter 4, and start in verse 7. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. I want to tell you, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, we were separated from God. We didn't care about God. We didn't want to, who cared? But God still loved us. God still loved His creation. If He didn't love His creation, He'd just let go. The earth would fly out into oblivion, freeze, and be destroyed. But He still holds it all together. He keeps it rotating in the right way. He keeps it moving in perfect harmony because He cares for us. He loves us and gave Himself so that we can have eternal life. Out of billions of stars that He created and planets that He placed in just the right place, He created Earth just for us. Put us in that environment that would be just perfectly placed. We're the ones that separated ourselves from Him, but that didn't stop Him from loving us and sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He loves us and cares for us. And so our response should be, thank You so much, Lord, because of what You did. And yes, I believe in You. What is there not to believe in? You know, evolutionary scientists want to say their thing. But I want to say, too, that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a Creator God. Creator God, the one that created all these things, that sure explains it all to me. And that He loves me and He wants me to be in heaven with Him, that's all I need to know. I want to be where He has made for me, what He has made for me. I want to be there. And so, our last song is Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. And so, we're going to lean on Him while we're here in this world. No matter what happens to us here, we have a better place waiting for us. He's created, and if He can create a universe like this, He certainly can create heaven, the most beautiful place you'll ever go to. So, 492, it's on the screen, actually, two verses, first and last verse. Let's all stand. We close with this song.